Just a reminder, today's conference is being recorded.
Good day, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the NTRA 2013 Road to the Breeders' Cup World Championships conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Following the presentation, we will conduct a question and answer session. At that time, participants are asked to press star 1 to register for a question. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded. It is now my pleasure to introduce your host, Ms. Penelope Miller. Please go ahead.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the NTRA National Media Road to the Breeders' Cup teleconference. This begins our Road to the Breeders' Cup series. Today's guests are trainer Todd Pletcher, trainer Michael Matz, and jockey Chantal Sutherland. Trainer Todd Pletcher is no stranger to the Saratoga Winner's Circle. He's claimed the training title at the spot in 1998, from 2002 to 2006, and from 2010 through 2012. On top of that, he has also set a record for number of wins in 2003, then tied his own record in 2004, and set a new record again in 2010. This year, at opening weekend, Todd Pletcher will have Kentucky Oaks winners, Princess of Silmar, as well as third place finisher in the Kentucky Oaks Unlimited Budget, going forward in the TVG Coaching Club American Oaks, as well as Authenticity in the Shoe V. Additionally, Todd will have two-year-old fillies Yes Liz and Elena Strikes in the Schuylerville on opening day at the spa this Friday. Todd, are you on the line?
I'm here.
Hey, Todd. Thank you for joining us today. You're well known at Saratoga for premiering some talented two-year-olds at the spa. How many juveniles do you have with you this year?
We've got quite a few. We have currently about 100 horses at Saratoga and roughly 42-year-olds.
Wow, so you've got some excitement for us in the future, we hope. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Of course, you never know until you run them, but yeah, we think we have a solid group. Don't anticipate to be as successful as we were last year with our juveniles. That would be hard to match, but sometimes we're still optimistic.
Absolutely. With so many training titles to your credit at Saratoga, can you just talk a little bit about what the racetrack's 150th anniversary means to you as you're looking forward to getting the meet started?
Well, I think just the fact that it's been here successfully for 150 years kind of tells everything. You know, I mean, not many things last over an extended period of time like that, and to maintain its top level of racing over such a long time is amazing and a real tribute to just how great Saratoga is.
Absolutely. And is there something in particular you look forward to for Saratoga each year as you get ready to leave?
Well, it's always an exciting time of the year because there's a lot of two-year-olds getting ready to run. The two-year-old racing here is as good as there is anywhere in the world, and that's always exciting when you're debuting horses and seeing what you potentially have for later in the year and next year.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much. At this time, I'd like to open up the teleconference to the media members waiting to ask you questions.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please signal by pressing the star key followed by the digit 1 on your telephone keypad. If you're using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. If you have signaled for a question prior to hearing these instructions on today's call, please repeat the process now by pressing star 1 again to ensure our equipment has captured your signal. And our first question comes from Danny Brewer from the Rutherford Reader. Please go ahead.
Hey, Todd. How's it going today?
Good, Danny.
Princess of Silmar, she had 5 wins in a second coming into the Oaks. Or no, she had 4 wins in a second coming into the Kentucky Oaks. She was a little bit overlooked, and then, of course, she knocked him dead there. Is this a chance for her to continue to validate herself in the Coaching Club American Oaks?
I think it definitely is. She kind of came in to the Oaks underneath the radar a little bit because she spent the winter in New York and then was second in the prep for the Kentucky Oaks. But, you know, we weren't surprised that she was able to pull off a win. I think at the time everyone considered it to be one of the strongest Kentucky Oaks we've seen in a long time, and I think with a with another strong performance, she'd certainly validate herself as a leading three-year-old filly for sure.
Fresh now, hasn't started since the Oaks, so she's good, fresh, in great shape.
She's doing really well. Love the way she's been training, and she's coming up to the race in really good order.
Unlimited budget. Was the Belmont a building block for this horse? Did you find something out about her?
Well, I don't really know if a building block would be the right way to describe it. You know, we Michael Poley wants to win the Belmont. He's a New York guy, and we decided to take a calculated risk, and I don't think she ran poorly. It's just a mile and a half was maybe a little beyond her scope, so I think cutting back to a mile and eight should suit her well, and her record prior to that was outstanding, and like I said, she didn't run poorly in the Belmont either.
Todd, I appreciate your time, and I wish you the best of luck.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your touch-tone phone. And our next question comes from David Grenning with the Daily Racing Form. Go ahead, please. Mr. Grenning with the Daily Racing Form. Please go ahead, sir. Thank you. I will...
Hello?
Please go ahead, Mr. Grenning.
Yeah, I was just wondering, Todd, if, yes, Liz will be coming back on 16 days rest in the Scarlet Village. Is she definitely going to run? And just what have you seen from her in the short period of time that she's had between races that gives you confidence to run her back?
I've got to talk to the connections on making a final decision that both fillies will run. One of the things we're trying to figure out is, you know, how to keep some of their fillies possibly separated or run in the right spots. And Stone Street has another filly named Ari the Adventurer that was pretty impressive in her debut, and she's pointing for the Adirondack. So there's a chance that we'd have to run two of these fillies against each other at some point. And just want to give ourselves as much time as possible to sort it out. But both fillies that entered the Skylar Bill are doing very well, and I'm not overly concerned about running back on slightly short rest if we decide to do that.
What impressed you about Atlanta Stakes at Monmouth, and did she go to Monmouth just because the races weren't filling in New York at the time? And
she was ready to run, and just from a timing standpoint, that's when she was ready to run. And I think a race had filled actually in New York maybe a day or two prior to that, so she didn't actually get okayed from the gate until after they'd already taken entries at Belmont. Anyways, she went to Monmouth in hopes that she would perform well and possibly set her up for the Skylar Bill, and I think she performed well. She came out of it good. She's trained really well since then, and I think she'll appreciate the additional furlong.
Just one last thing. Regarding the Oaks on Saturday, your riding assignments for Silmar, obviously Mike Smith, I guess, is a Delaware, or Javier, or trying to get them out?
Johnny will ride Unlimited Budget, and Javier will ride Princess of Silmar.
And one last thing, Authenticity, entries tomorrow for two races, possibly. Would you enter both and give yourself more time to decide whether
it is a possibility that we'll enter in both spots. We're definitely going to enter in the QB, and we're going to take a look at entries tomorrow at Delaware and see what's going on there, but she's under consideration for both races at the moment, but leaning slightly towards the Shulu.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And our next question comes from Jenny Reese with the Louisville Courier-Journal. Please go ahead.
And I don't know if the operator realizes there's apparently been some technical difficulties with this call. We haven't heard everything, so I missed including part of your intro, Todd. But you did mention the two-year-old racing, and I'm wondering if you could give us any sort of insight to maybe some unraced two-year-olds that you might be unleashing at Saratoga. Like, you know, do you have another Indian Charlie in the barn or something that we might, you know, some horses that you have high expectations for?
Yeah, we entered a couple of fillies for Mike Rapoli on opening day that have been training well. I think right now that our two-year-old fillies are slightly more advanced than some of the colts. Some of the colts are a little later coming in, and we've had a tremendous amount of rain here all spring and early summer, and that's kind of maybe has us slightly behind schedule with a few. So we're probably a couple weeks away from any horses you'd be wanting to put on any Derby watch list already.
Okay. Well, if that's the case, then maybe we could talk about your three-year-old colts. I know it's a little bit off, but you still got one for the Haskell and one for the Jim Dandy. Could you give the Verrazano and the Palace Malice update?
Palace Malice breezed again here on Sunday. He's doing super. Felt like that, if anything, he's just getting better and better and has moved forward since the Belmont. He's trained really well. We're excited about running him in the Jim Dandy. Verrazano breezed yesterday and liked his race in the Pegasus, and hopefully it's setting him up well for the Haskell. We're looking forward to trying it again in Grade 1 company, and hopefully he can continue to do as well as he's done.
Okay, great. Thanks.
You got it.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your touch-tone phone. And there are no further questions at this time. Please continue.
Todd, thank you so much for joining us today. And sounds like we actually have a late stretch drive from another question coming down the lane. So I will turn it back over to the teleconference.
Yes, we do have a question coming in from Marcus Hirsch with the Daily Racing Forum. Please go ahead.
Hey, Todd. Charming Kitten, Secretariat?
I haven't really had a chance to talk to Mr. Ramsey about what our plans are. I would say that the possibility is either the Hall of Fame at Saratoga or the Secretariat at Arlington.
And that would be the same for Jack Milton then, too?
No, I actually have had a chance to speak to Gary Barber, and we're pointing Jack Milton for the Secretariat.
Okay. Would you have any other horses you know at this time that you'd be shipping out for that series of races here?
Right now, he is the only candidate.
Well, okay. But it is possible you'd run both again.
It is possible, yes.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Todd. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your touch-tone phone. And our next question comes from Jenny Rees with the Louisville Courier-Journal. Please go ahead.
Yeah, Todd, the mention of Charming Kitten got me thinking. How many horses do you have for the Ramseys right now?
We got in a few babies this year as well, so I think he's the only older horse, or three-year-old, and then we have, I think, six babies.
I just wondered, because obviously he's been very vocal about trying to dislodge Micropoli is the winningest owner at Saratoga. Ken Ramsey gets pretty motivated about these things. Just sort of thoughts of having two colorful owners in the barn that might both be going for the owner's title, and how does that impact the trainer at all?
I think Mike actually kind of last year after the meet was over kind of decided, you know, that he wasn't going to put the same emphasis on winning the owner title this year as he had in the past. So, I don't think he's conceded it necessarily. We'll try to do the best we can. But right now, I don't think, Mike's totally focused on winning the owner's title. So I don't anticipate he'll have the volume of runners in order to really do it. You'd have to bat at an extremely high percentage.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your touch-tone phone. And there are no further questions at this time. Please go ahead.
Okay. I will once again thank you very much for joining us, Todd, and I wish you the very best of luck at Saratoga's 150th meet.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Have a great day. All right, up next we have trainer Michael Matz, whose Charge and Why Not is set for the Delaware Handicap. Michael is perhaps most famous for training 2006 Kentucky Derby winner Barbaro, as well as the 2012 Belmont victor Union Rags. Additionally, he can claim 2005 Arlington Million winner Kick and Chris and the 2006 Breeders' Cup Distaff, now known as the Ladies' Classic winner Round Pond, to his stable. Michael brings a wealth of equine knowledge to his training barn. He was a member of the United States Olympic Equestrian Team in 1976, 1992, and 1996, and was chosen to carry the American flag at the 1996 closing ceremonies. Additionally, Michael Matz was honored as a Person of the Week by ABC News for his heroism in saving four children from the wreckage of the crash of United Airlines Flight 232 in 1989. I believe we are still waiting to get Michael on the line. At this time, we will go on hold until we have him.
Ladies and gentlemen, please stand by while we contact the next speaker. Thank you.
Okay, I believe we have Michael Matz on the line right now. Michael, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Excellent. Can you tell us a little bit about how and why Nod is training?
Well, right now she had a little rest over the winter time, and we brought her back, and she ran a real nice race in the Obia, and I think that you know, a mile and a quarter is a good distance for her.
Awesome. And as a trainer who's based in the Mid-Atlantic region, what makes the Delaware Handicap a special race for you?
Well, it's a lot of money, that's right. And for one thing, the distance, this filly needs she needs a lot of distance.
Awesome. Well, as of right now, I will open up the lines for questions from the media.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please signal by pressing the star key followed by the digit 1 on your telephone keypad. And our question comes from Danny Brewer with the Rutherford Reader. Please go ahead.
Hey, Michael, how's it going today?
Thank you. Fine.
What led you to want to take a shot here? Distance, but is there something with the horse that you feel like she is just right, that this is a great spot for her besides the distance?
Well, I think that's the biggest thing, the distance for her, and she ran a real nice race in the Obia. You know, she's one of those horses where probably if it's an allowance race or a stakes race, she's going to run the way she wants to run. And the biggest thing is the distance in the race. She's got the, you know, she's... played well as a 2-year-old. I know she's only won one race, but she's been close a bunch of times.
Yeah, because I was going to say, she hasn't won since 2011, and obviously the Dale handicap, you know it's going to come in tough. So you feel like this is a great spot to take a shot?
There's not too many horses that go around and can run a mile and a quarter. And one thing I know, this horse can run a mile and a quarter. She had a real nice race over the track the last time. And for one thing, my mother-in-law wants to try it.
Well, and if the mother-in-law says it, then that's the way it goes, right?
That's the way it goes.
All right, listen, Mike, I appreciate it, man. I wish you the best of luck with the horse and the mother-in-law, okay?
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1 on your touch-tone phone. And there are no questions at this time.
Michael, at this point, are you planning on taking some horses up to Saratoga?
Yes. Yeah, they left today.
And how many are you sending up there?
We have 11 sold.
Excellent. Any specific races that you're pointing towards at the moment?
Well, we're going to look at the Diana, possibly for Somali Lemonade, and basically we have a couple New York breds that we took up there, and quite a few two-year-olds.
And I was wondering, with Saratoga's 150th anniversary being celebrated this year, is there anything that really stands out in your thoughts about Saratoga's meet and the spa in general?
Well, the purses are very good. it looks like it's going to always be a premier meet. The purses are very well, and everybody, is trying to do good at Saratoga.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon, and I wish you the best of luck in the Delaware Handicap.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Have a great afternoon.
Okay. Bye.
Okay. Up next, we have jockey Chantal Sutherland joining us. Chantal has many talents, including her skill in riding races. She is also an actress and model. She has a pilot's license and is the face of Del Mar's 2013 marketing campaign. Among her riding accomplishments are victories in the Santa Anita Handicap, the Hollywood Gold Cup, and she was also the first woman to ride in the $10 million Dubai World Cup. Additionally, Chantal has been featured in Sports Illustrated, Vogue, and was selected as one of People's 100 Most Beautiful People. She also appeared in HBO's horse racing-centric series, Luck, and was one of the stars of Animal Planet's reality series, Jockeys. Chantal retired from racing in October of 2012, but has since returned to the saddle in June of this year and will be riding at Del Mar in the first race on tomorrow's opening day. Chantal, are you on the line?
I am.
Thank you so much for joining us. Can you tell us a little bit about what spending the summer at Del Mar means to you since coming out of retirement?
It's really exciting. I'm looking forward to it and just a renewed, fresh, refreshed sense of energy.
Absolutely. And what is it that makes Del Mar a special place just for you and for fans as well?
Probably the fans. It's just, they're amazing, and their energy level is really high and exciting. And then everybody dresses up, and then the horses are all geared up for this meet. There's larger field sizes, which is good for jockeys like me. And the whole town, the vibe, and the ocean, and the air, and the breeze, it just feels so good to be there.
Absolutely. Well, we so much appreciate you being on the call with us today. I will now open the lines to the media waiting to ask questions.
Okay.
If you would like to ask a question, please signal by pressing the star key followed by the digit 1 on your telephone keypad. And our first question comes from Danny Brewer with the Rutherford Reader. Go ahead, please.
Chantal, how are you doing today?
Good. How are you, Danny?
Fantastic. Listen, when you hung it up, they said, Chantal, what are you going to do? You said, I'm going to get a cheeseburger. All right. Now that you're back as a jockey, is it to the tofu now, or what's happening there?
That's funny you said that. We had tuna sashimi last night. Yeah.
Now, as far as Del Mar, you and Penelope touched on a little bit, the specialness of Del Mar, is it something that you can really grasp if you haven't been there?
No, you have to go there.
And what was one of the biggest things that you missed about being a jockey that has brought you back into this wonderful sport?
The horses. I miss action. I miss competing and going fast. I miss the adrenaline rush. And I kind of, you know, I miss all the camaraderie in the jocks room. You know, the guys used to be annoying that they would tease me, but then you miss all your friends. And they kind of are family because I spend more time with them than anybody. And I miss going out in the mornings and just getting on horses in the morning as well and just seeing the wide open space and hundreds of horses galloping and running around and loose horses and the excitement. It's cool.
Now, as far as you haven't been out of the game that long, picking up mounts, you think you're going to have any problem or have you already got quite a bit lined up for the Del Mar meet?
You know, it's hard to gauge at this point. I've been working a lot of horses, but it's, you know, this industry, it's pretty fickle, and I think, you know, I have a lot of work to do because I have no business coming in to Del Mar, really. So I just hope I get support from the trainers, and if I don't, well, I'll try my best and hope for the best, and I'm happy doing it, and it's just happy to be back.
Well, you've been pretty successful, and I think winning will probably be the best advertisement that you could do. Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
Well, I certainly do wish you the best of luck, and as a turf rider, hey, we're glad to have you back in the sport, okay?
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your touch-tone phone. And there are no questions at this time. Please continue.
Chantal, you were tweeting some pictures a couple days ago of you making some muscles getting ready for the Del Mar meet. You mentioned an arm wrestling match. Is that something that actually might happen?
I don't know. We were just joking around, my husband and I. But, yeah, I mean, we do it. But, you know, maybe if I was given two hands, I could beat him. But maybe not. I don't know.
Taking a look at the picture, it looks like you're pretty fit. Can you tell us a little bit about what you did to get ready to get back in the saddle?
Well, I've always been working out even when I wasn't racing, but then getting lean again is, you know, really being careful of what to eat. And I actually saw, you know, I've always been into nutrition, but I spoke to one nutritionist, and they were really adamant that I start drinking a gallon of water a day, which I have been doing, and it's really helped. Sometimes I don't get the whole gallon in, but I try my best, and I find it's really cleansing, and I've lost some weight doing it. And then just, you know, my regular visits to the gym, I train 45 to 60 minutes cardio, and then I do, like, 25 minutes of weight, mostly upper body, because my lower body's pretty buff, or, you know, thick enough.
Well, I imagine it's a great excitement to be going back and getting started at Del Mar. What are you most looking forward to about tomorrow?
Well, you know, I was looking forward tomorrow to ride, but I think Rafael Bejarano, I was an alternate, so Rafael Bejarano was going to ride that horse I was going to ride tomorrow.
Okay.
I'll be riding Thursday, but I'll still go to opening day for a little bit. But what I am looking forward to in racing is just getting back into that competitive mode and in the zone and just being in a race and, you know, kicking butt.
Absolutely. Well, we thank you so much for joining us this afternoon on the call, and I wish you the best of luck at Del Mar this summer.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You too. Bye.
That concludes our national media teleconference for the Road to the Breeders' Cup. We would like to thank our guests, Todd Pletcher, Michael Matz, and Chantal Sutherland, as well as our producer in New York, Joan Lawrence, and Tracy and Shelly Ann at Dialogue Teleconferencing. As a reminder, our next teleconference will be on Tuesday, July 23rd, and a transcript and podcast of this teleconference will be available within 24 hours at ntra.com, as well as followhorseracing.com. Thank you for joining us, and have a wonderful afternoon.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes the conference call for today. We thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect your line and have a great day.